Going to read about a bird. Please do not tell your mother she asked you what Mr. McCandless spoke on and say it was for the birds. It's going to be about a bird. We are told by the experts that we all, as individuals, have bird-like characteristics. Okay? I have to admit to you before I start, although I'm going to speak about the dove, that might just not be me. Okay? I'm glad my family aren't here to holler out the amen that we've been hearing about. As a brother, I'd expect that from a man born the same day as I am. All right, Kelly, nobody else I'd forgive. It's amazing. I was thinking, you know, Mr. Lavery one time, maybe more than once, has said that he's often mistaken for a doctor. You can kind of see that in Bill. He does. He has doctor characteristics. Just look at him. You'd agree, wouldn't you, Mr. Lavery? Nobody ever mistakes me for a doctor. I've been mistaken for RCMP. I've been stated in this country twice, FBI, convinced, stopped on the street. That was when my hair was blacker, okay? And I thought it was the best compliment I ever got was while I was in Palm Springs. Didn't know the people there. Little fella came to the back and he looked up at me and he says, you know, put his hands like this, he says, you look like a president. Like, but before the night was over, I was very disturbed because I didn't know which one. So we'll get on with this bird business. Genesis chapter 8. I've got a lot of things that I'd like to go over. I'm a little like the fellow that said to his audience, he said, no, he says, I got a lot of things I want to tell you. He said, I don't know where to start. The boy shot up his hand. He says, somewhere near the end. So we will do that. Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 1. I think you are well aware of the story of Noah. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him and the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters were assuaged. I think it's significant to notice the care that God had even for his creation. It's not just Noah and, well, the animals made for the best, but the care that he had for the creation. Of course, that is in keeping with God himself. Verse number 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the earth. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him, unto him. Notice verse 9 earlier, unto him, into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. The dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off, so Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Came to pass in the 600th, and first year in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. That's all that will suffice for our reading. And I do want to speak on this dove. Very interesting that I think that it is significant to notice, just doing a study in your Bible, to go through and notice the different birds that we have mentioned in the Bible. The dove is to the fowl kingdom what the lamb is to the animal kingdom in the Bible. Okay? The dove is to that fowl kingdom what the lamb is to the animal kingdom. Both of them are linked with sacrifice. Both of them are linked with Christ. The Song of Solomon, remember, she speaks of the eye of the dove. The eye of the dove. We go further to the 68th Psalm, and we'll read about the dove's wing. About its eye, about the dove's wing. The symbol of speed and sorrow and submission. A lot of things that mark the dove just as you go through the scriptures. The old creation, as we know it, the old creation started with the Spirit moving upon the waters. Picture again of the dove. And so with the new creation, significant that after Noah we have the dove. A new creation, and the dove again, the Holy Spirit. And again, when we come to the New Testament, we have it in Acts chapter 2. And of course, we have the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon the Lord Jesus at his baptism. The Lord Jesus spoke even relative to gospel work in Matthew chapter 10. And he said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be," he said, "therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And so the dove is a very submissive bird. The dove is a very sorrowful bird. She's often linked with sorrow and speed. Doctrines linked with birds that are in our Bible. Salvation, of course, is often linked with the hen. Luke chapter 19, the Lord Jesus reminds them that he would have gathered Jerusalem as a hen doth gather her brood under her wing, and ye would not. How often we preach that in the gospel. So the hen is linked with salvation. Discipleship, of course, the Lord Jesus spoke of the birds of the air not having a place to rest, and the fowls of the air as he spoke of them. Satanic opposition, it would be the fowls that came, remember, and took up the seed that was sown. So it's linked with satanic opposition. It's interesting that when it comes to, and as a poultry farmer, I would find this interesting, when it comes to restoration, it's linked with a rooster. Remember the call, the cock crowing with Peter's restoration. The spread of the kingdom, of course, speaks of the gospel going forth and so on. So without going into the just the dates, all the genealogy of the, rather the significance of the order of events with the ark and its resting, that we will touch on that in a minute. I want to think particularly about the sole of the foot of the dove. She found no place. It's very, very carefully given to us that she went forth and found no place for the rest, for the sole of her foot. Good to understand that the mention in our Bible of a foot, is linked often with sin and judgment. Okay? When we read of feet, it's linked with grace and glory. For example, Matthew chapter 18, right where Mr. Smith has been reading to us, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee," said the Lord Jesus, "cut it off," and so on. Again, in Matthew chapter 22, the king comes to the servants and says, "Bind them hand and foot, cast them into outer darkness." Again, it is the foot. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the apostle says, if the foot, interesting that at Corinth the problem really was the tongue. He doesn't start with the tongue. He says, if the foot shall say. So God is significantly interested in the feet of his people. He's interested in the comfort of those feet. We'd find that from Isaiah's prophecy. We'd find that with Israel going through the wilderness and so on. Remember Hebrews chapter 12. Again, it is a judgment of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy of, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he is sanctified an unholy thing, done despite unto the Spirit of grace. In Revelation chapter 10, our Bibles in the day, the age, if you like, concludes as he will take the little book and set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. However, when we come to feet, our feet in the Bible, it's just the opposite. Linked there with grace and glory. Remember what it'll be, Abraham will come and he says, "Let a little water be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." Remember Genesis 49, that tremendous prophetic statement that the scepter shall not depart out of Judah nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Again, a picture of grace and glory. Genesis chapter 49, of course, when Jacob makes an end of commanding his sons, it says that he gathered his feet up into his bed. Beautiful scenes of that. And of course, we go through Luke's gospel. Remember, she stood behind him weeping and began to anoint his feet. John chapter 13, of course, the Lord Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Romans 10, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet upon the mountains that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. So linked, again, the foot in our Bible linked with sin and judgment. The word feet in our Bible linked with grace and glory. Now for a minute, let's look at what is happening here in Genesis chapter 8. It is significant. And this would follow very well with what you've been hearing from Mr. Smith this afternoon. Not looking so much at the ark as a picture of the assembly itself, but Noah in that ark and the dove returning to Noah is a little picture really of a gathered company, if you'd like it that way. It's interesting. It's significant that when Noah sees dry land, he doesn't say, "Job done, I'm out of here. Mission completed." He does not move until God commands him to move. Just an overall view of the raven. You look at the raven, you'd think the last thing it wanted to do was go back to that ark. Mind you, if you've been in it, maybe you've been the same way. But the dove is the opposite. The dove waited for the outstretched hand of a Noah to bring her safely into that ark. Now, it speaks, of course, of the sole of the foot, okay? The dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, but returned unto him in the ark. Now, of course, when you've got a doctor or more in the audience, which we do this afternoon, far be it from me to start talking as if I know something about the foot. But you'll have to just allow the applications, if you don't mind, brethren, because for the moment, I'm trying to do the preaching. It's the most sensitive part of the foot. The most sensitive part of the foot. It is the most supportive part of the foot. And it is the most susceptible part of the foot, thanks to Google. Okay? I know some say, where do you get that? Where do you get that? Where do you think I get it? I get all I can out of here, and then there are other resources. The sole of her foot. It is interesting, but that word for sole is the same word that is used for Jacob's thigh, Jacob's side. That very sensitive area that the angel of God touched in a Jacob and claimed in a Jacob is seen in the sole of the foot. So if I put those two together, I learn something. I learn something of a divine claim. As there is a sovereign claim upon a Jacob, so there is a sovereign claim upon the sole of my foot. That's why I can't go everywhere maybe I would like to go. As we've been hearing, that's why I may not feel free to go to places where friends that I have attend and would encourage me to go. Very significant. So think of it as the most sensitive part of the foot. The sole of her foot. The smallest area, if you like, at the bottom of the foot, the most sensitive. How sensitive that dove was. I mean, wasn't that way with the raven? There's no sensitivity there. We'll come to it in a minute, but it could feed on anything. It didn't have to go back to that ark. Let me ask you today, how sensitive are you? How sensitive am I today when it comes to my walk and as to where I really go? Now, we're not far into 2014, far enough. What if you had to announce from here all the places that you have been since the first of the year, all of the places? Are you happy to do that? Or are there places that you're attending, places you've been? Little secret places where you've gone, and you knew right well, I shouldn't be here. You knew that it would not only grieve your parents if they're Christians, but it would be grieving to the Lord if he knew just where I am at this time. The sensitivity of the sole of the foot. She found no rest for it. No place where she could just put down anchor. Might you love to see believers, you know the biggest place of their rest is where they come among God's people. It is. If it ceases to be that, you won't be there long, brother. You will not be there long. See, this is what we're talking about. A bird that is so submissive. And the dove is the bird of one mate. But so submissive she is to a Noah. She knew who had sent her for. She knew who had released her. And it was to the one that she came back to. Are we conscious today really who has released us? Who has broke the power of sin over us? The shackles of sin over us? You know, sometimes we start to get thinking, as my neighbor would tell me sometimes, or used to tell me, I don't know if he tells me that anymore, used to, you know, he says, you've done well for yourself. And he said, you know, he said to me one day, he said, McCandless, you'd be a marvelous man if it wasn't for that religion you got. I said to him, listen, Junior, you wouldn't want me as a neighbor if it wasn't for the salvation that I have. And I don't even know my own heart. Nothing to be proud about. Nothing that really is ours. I'm like the couple that got married, and there's no doubt about it, she had brought the bulk of financial support into the marriage. She came into some money, and things were good. Life was good. But she didn't mind reminding him either. And one day they were in the house, and looking around, he was looking around, he says, you know, dear, don't forget, if it wasn't for my money, we wouldn't be here. He nodded. A little later on, a big load of furniture came. He saw the furniture come in. It was It was the best of furniture. And she says, you know, really, if it wasn't for my money, this wouldn't be here. He had enough. He said, I might as well tell you, if it wasn't for your money, I wouldn't be here. Is that how we can feel about it? No, if it wasn't for me. How would the place go out if it wasn't for me? Listen, every believer should take the possessive attitude of a local company that I am so needed here. And yet, possessive to the point where it can still function without me. And please, I don't know where brethren are reading when they get up and go into this big barrage where you're not to call it your assembly. Well, you'll have to have a talk with James in the coming day. James, in his epistle, he speaks of your assembly. I wish that all believers looked upon it with that possessiveness, realizing, though, the one who has paid the ultimate price, the one who is giving everything that we have to enjoy in your assembly today, was the Lord himself. So here's the dove, the most sensitive part of her foot. I want to think of the most supportive part of her foot. Because all of those fine bones that run through the sole of the foot, it is so supportive. Because something affects the sole of that foot, pretty soon there's a limp. Pretty soon the walk is affected. There's something that's disturbing it, something that's affecting it. Am I speaking to some today? And yeah, you picked up something along the way, something of a discomfort, something that is bothering you, and it has affected your walk. Not only because it is the most sensitive, but it is the most supportive. You don't stand like you used to stand. There are certain things you stood against, you wouldn't do. You just wouldn't go there. You wouldn't encourage your children to go there. But you would say maybe today, well, times have changed. Well, I'm aware of that too. And this has changed, that has changed. Whatever you do, dear child of God, don't put something into the walk of a coming generation that is going to cripple them for the rest of their days. Sad to think of a man like Noah. I've been studying him lately. Sad to think of a man like Noah, the man that he was, giant in our scriptures. This man right here. And before his days are concluded, he allows something into his life that causes his boys to walk in a backward direction. God forbid that I allow something into my life that sends you walking in a wrong direction. Well, that's what he does. He said it's all right. I was just reading, come along on the trip here, about the old prophet and the days of Jeroboam. And he was a subtle character. And the young man of God. It's just, it's heartrending. It's heartbreaking to read it. Of a man with such potential. And that sly old prophet. No, there were some honorable things that he did. There were some true things that he said. All wasn't wrong. But at the end of the day, you know what he does? He buries that young man in his grave. That grave wasn't intended for that young man, but he goes into it. You be careful. Remember, it is Jacob that says, take me up and bury me in the grave which I have digged for myself. We dig graves for ourselves at times. That's one thing. But don't you be buried in a grave that you don't belong in. Don't you invest something. You see, the reason that Jacob is saying that is, I don't want to be buried in Egypt. Don't bury me in Egypt. Whatever happens, don't bury me there. What is it, brethren, this afternoon? Are we burying ourselves in Egypt? Are we burying ourselves in this world? It's entertainment, it's interest, it's activities. Oh, to be separated from it. Oh, to have feet that would take us from that. The most susceptible part of our foot. You see, the raven literally was feeding on a world that was condemned by God. You see, that was really the main factor in the failure of Lot's wife. Lot's wife should never have perished. How often do you read of women missing it in salvation? How often do you read of them perishing? Seldom. Never read of the women mistreating the Lord Jesus. Plenty of men did. Not a woman. There's no reason why that woman should have perished. But you know what was wrong? Oh, I know there was her husband. There was this failure and that was failure. You know what was really wrong? She could not release her fascination with a world that was under the condemnation of God. That was her world back there. It was going to burn. She couldn't just draw herself from it. She did not become a pillar of stone because she had a bad memory. But she was focused and fascinated, even though feet carrying her out of it physically. That's where her heart was. Where's your heart today? Because your feet will follow your heart. So the most sensitive part of the foot, the most supportive, the most susceptible. What about the raven? Interesting, it's the first bird to go. The raven. Isn't that 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15? That which is natural is first, then that which is spiritual, says the apostle. So the nature. The raven is a picture of the natural bird. And the dove is a picture of the spiritual bird. If you like, the raven is like the first man. The dove is like the second man. There was a natural eagerness that there seemed to be about the raven. In other words, just couldn't wait to get out of there. The dove is more restful, okay? When she comes back, to Noah's name means rest, as you likely know. When she came back to the hand of one that would give her rest. Is that how the assembly is with you, dear sister? Dear brother, is it a place of rest? Brother, is that how we conduct ourselves so it is that? Listen, I'm not today so nice to see assemblies increasing and of a good number. But I want to tell you, give me any company, even if it be small. And when I go in there and I sense this is a place of rest. Because I'm with one who has ultimately given me rest, eternal rest, the Lord Jesus himself, not the raven. To and fro. Like I say, maybe a glance at the ark or two, not going back to the ark. But if it could find something out there that it could feed upon, that's exactly what it was to do. And that's what it wanted to do. So unlike the dove. You know, there's a verse in Ephesians, excuse me, chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. That word for clamor is the carrion call of an unclean bird, a raven. The word for clamor. When it has found something of roadkill, the noise that bird starts to make is the word for clamor. Ever clamor amongst us as God's people? Some unclean thing that shouldn't even be repeated. Something you'd rather not talk about. You don't want to talk about. It's not that you're blindsided, but it just doesn't do enough for your soul. Brother, whatever you do, don't be like that raven. Don't feed upon it. You feed upon it, it'll twist. It'll spoil your own soul. And it won't, as I say, be kept happy for God. The dove. What a beautiful picture. What a difference we have in the dove. The dove was Noah's teacher, okay? The dove taught Noah her movements were not dictated by circumstances inside the ark or outside. Let's go over that again. The dove would teach Noah that her movements were not dictated by what was inside the ark or outside of it, no matter how rough it was in there, no matter how bad it was in there. That dove is not sitting there waiting to launch into the wild blue yonder because it was so bad in there. Though I know that assembly scenes and difficulty can become very bad. Where Christians just don't want to go to meeting. They come home and they're just discouraged. Brethren, sisters, don't create that kind of environment. But you know what you can do? Rather than stay home, go and take some presence to it, okay? Go and take a little of Christ in your life. And because remember, ultimately, it is a composition of what you and I are, okay? It's not created because we repainted the walls last fall and put new shingles on the roof in the spring. It is you and I as part of that company that contribute to it. More than that, she learned something of divine presence, and it was this. God was the first to enter that ark. He was the last to leave it. As I've said, Noah would not leave that ark until he was told. There's people today, unfortunately, leaving the assembly. They've never been told to by God. Oh, I know they'll tell you what they think is their reasons, which likely are excuses. I don't know. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking when anybody leaves. There's nobody that we don't need. Oh, I know it's an easy write-off to say, you know, I wonder if they really saved them. Hey, maybe they weren't. Okay? Not sitting here to judge them, but it is a hard day when there are those that are genuinely saved and they leave us. Isn't it? There's nothing great about it. There's nothing when brethren go to visit them if they can. Sometimes they don't want to be visited. Listen, don't you come down to our brethren because they don't visit. I had a letter from a man, email from a man just last week, coming down very hard on brethren because they hadn't done this and they hadn't done that. I said, go do it yourself. He's a man about my age. There were happier days in his life. There's a time when he didn't sit in the grandstand and criticize. There's one time when he went out in the ditch and did the toil himself. Very easy to do that. The dove wasn't dictated. She did not dictate what was inside or what was outside. You know what she was looking for? An outstretched hand. Listen, the hand that was outstretched in your salvation is still a great hand of the great shepherd that is outstretched to shepherd you. Coming back to the foot, the significance of the foot. I know that we say that, I can take it that way. I can look at it that way, of the Lord Jesus, as he was in the upper room, kind of a rebuke to the disciples that nobody else takes up the basin, nobody else takes up the towel, and nobody else washes the disciples' feet. Do you understand? He was the only one that was fit in that room to do it. There's nobody else fit to do it. Their condition was such they couldn't do it. How about you today? How about me? Is your condition as it is right today at this conference such that you really could, spiritually speaking, notice the Lord Jesus does not tell us to do what as he had done. But is your condition, is my condition such that we could refresh someone else? That we really could wash their feet? Or is it that we're having enough battles ourselves in our own lives that we're just too busy with this and too busy with that, we really couldn't do it? It's lovely. That's what the apostle says in Romans chapter 15. Wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. No, you know, there's no such thing as a foot in the ark and a foot in the world. Not the dove. She found no place for the sole of her foot. It's interesting, when she came back, she didn't come back to the roof of the ark. See how things are going. She didn't come back to the rail and sit on it, say, nothing's changed here. Not coming back here. Like I say, there's only one person she looked for, one hand that she looked for, and she found what she was looking for. You'll find what you're looking for. People that are looking for something else that step out, ultimately, sadly, unfortunately, find what they're looking for. If it's just kind of an easement, if it's just kind of a, nobody's going to question if I do this on Sunday afternoon. Nobody's going to say anything to me. Nobody's going to have that look at, oh, how come you aren't here? I can go here. This is a place. Not at all. That is raven thinking. Let's come back to dove thinking. Wouldn't Jan Darby, as she wrote that beautiful hymn that we often sing, couldn't she have sung that when she came back to the ark? This world is a wilderness wide. I have nothing to seek or to choose. I have no thought in the waste to abide. I have not but to regret or to lose. It says she returned unto him in the evening, just as the sun is going down. There's a few of us here today. There's a good part of our life is gone. The sun's, the shadows start to lengthen. And brethren and sisters, generally speaking, to all ages today, have we not moved into the setting of the sun? Where did it find her? Back in the ark. Oh, ere that day close, and that sun finally sets, I trust before God and I tell God of my prayers, may have found me gathered with people I love, in a place that I love, the Lord's people, gathered to his precious name. So she comes back. When the gates of day were done, with weary wing, the dove come back to the master. Isn't it a picture of restoration? Isn't it a lovely picture to us of Naomi? And it's noticeable, too, on that second trip, she brought in her mouth an olive branch plucked off, the memorial of the day and the prophecy of the future. What was she doing? She says, there's a new day coming. There's a whole new age coming. There's a whole new creation. And brothers and sisters, that is the absolute truth of it. So it comes right down to this. Wouldn't you like today, well, we may not all have dove characteristics. We can have the characteristic of the sole of the foot of a dove and realize that this world is a wilderness wide. It is under the judgment of God. And brethren and sisters, there's no place that will see you preserved like where you are gathered, if you gather with those that gather to the name of the Lord Jesus. Realizing it's a sense in which I have personal responsibility, but not personal ownership. It is His, and I want to be there until He comes.